Hello, my friends. Good morning. Welcome into this edition of JMAX Show Prep. So glad that you are here with me this morning. Got a couple of things that I want to share with you. And just a reminder, JMAX Show Prep is pre-recorded, so I will be able to see your comments, but only after the fact. So please feel free to comment. Please feel free to like and to share. But unlike our live broadcast that you hear on Tuesday and Thursday night at 9:30 p.m. Mountain Standard Time, this is a comment. You are not going to see them live on the screen, and I'm not going to respond to them. This is my invitation for you to join me as I read through the stories that I flagged over the weekend. It appears that they are all COVID-related, but they are all very important. So again, this is my first blush. The only thing I've seen up to this point is the headline. So let's dive in and see what these stories are. First screaming banner headline that stood out to me is Supreme Court Justices Brett Kavanaugh and Amy Coney Barrett side with liberal justices. They decline to block Maine's vaccine mandate for health workers with religious exemptions. Now, I don't know what this story says yet, but I do want to refresh your memory on what I've said, and we'll see if this adds up or not, or will I have to change my viewpoint? I've told you that states have the right to issue a vaccine mandate. I've also told you that employers have a right to institute a vaccine mandate. I do not believe the federal government has a right to institute a vaccine mandate, except when it comes to federal employees, the military, federal contractors, and airports. So that's kind of where I've stood in the past. Those people crying civil liberties over vaccine mandates, I'm afraid they just don't understand how the Constitution works. This is not a civil liberties issue. It's an issue as to whether or not the threat rises to the level where it is justified to force these vaccine mandates. I'm sure most people would agree that if this was a 50% infection rate or mortality rate, you might be more inclined to accept it. So to me, it's a question of, does the COVID mortality rate and also all of the other health issues that are out there, does it rise to the level of mandates? That should be the issue, not civil liberties. So let's see, let's dive into this. Again, I haven't read it. This is Yahoo News today. The Supreme Court is seen on the first day of the new term. Okay, that's describing the picture. So Yahoo News always gives you the bullet points first. The Supreme Court denied a request brought by healthcare workers seeking to skirt a vaccine mandate. The court declined to stop Maine from requiring those with religious exemptions to get vaccinated. Justices John Roberts, Brett Kavanaugh, and Amy Coney Barrett sided with the liberal justices. Okay, so this was a ruling that came out on Friday. The Supreme Court declined to block Maine from requiring vaccine mandates for healthcare workers who object on religious grounds. Maine requires all healthcare workers to be fully vaccinated against COVID-19 and does not grant a religious exemption. A group of healthcare workers sought an emergency order from the Supreme Court that would block the requirement for those with religious objections. The court voted 6-3 with conservatives justices John Roberts and Trump appointees Brett Kavanaugh and Amy Coney Barrett siding with the liberal justices. The majority did not give a reason for the decision, but conservative Justice Neil Gorsuch, joined by Justices Clarence Thomas and Samuel Alito, issued a long dissent. Quote, unlike comparable rules in most other states, Maine's rule contains no exemption for those who sincerely hold religious beliefs, preclude them from accepting the vaccination, Gorsuch wrote, adding that the healthcare workers who sought relief from the rule have served on the front lines throughout the pandemic. This is an important point. The religious exemptions that are put into vaccine mandates are not there because they're required constitutionally. They are there because states have sought to provide that exemption. Yet with Maine's new ruling, the story goes on, coming into effect. One of the applicants has already lost her job for refusing to betray her faith. Another risked the imminent loss of his medical practice. Barrett, joined by Kavanaugh, in a concurring opinion, briefly remarked on their decision to block the request, citing the fact that the case was brought on the shadow docket or as an emergency appeal. Shadow docket cases do not involve oral arguments or full rulings that are part of normal cases. Barrett said the shadow docket should not be used for such a case and that the court should not make this decision on a short fuse without benefit of full briefing and oral argument. Maine has required healthcare workers to receive certain vaccinations for decades. In 2019, prior to the pandemic, a state law removed religious and philosophical exemptions. The law, which took effect in September of this year, was adopted by 73% of Maine voters, supported it in a referendum. That according to the New York Times. Let's see, in August, Barrett also rejected a request to block Indiana University's vaccine requirement for students, so she did not provide a reason. However, she made the decision without consulting other justices, as justices are not allowed to do on emergency appeals, suggesting she did not think there was much legal justification for the request. So this, in my opinion, continues to back up what I have been telling you. Now, I've been wanting these cases to get to the Supreme Court so that we could get some clarity and we could get over the civil rights argument here. States have a right to issue mandates. Businesses have a right to issue mandates. If they allow for religious exemptions or for medical exemptions, that's because it's their choice to do so. There is nothing that requires them to do this. Now, I've also told you, if I had my way, we wouldn't have any mandates. If we had good leadership back when the vaccine first came out, I believe the vaccination rate would be up around 80%. And if that was the case, we wouldn't need mandates. Mandates always chase people in the other direction. It's just like my children. They all went in the directions I told them not to go. They gravitated towards everything that I told them not to gravitate towards. I mean, my goodness. And that's just kind of the way we adults are. So my preference is no mandates. But I've also shared with you how if we didn't have lockdowns, if we didn't have social distancing, if we didn't have mask requirements, our healthcare system would have been completely overwhelmed. We were overwhelmed with all of those things in place. And we almost filled up every bed. Can you imagine if we didn't do those things? We would have had people dying simply because they couldn't get care. And that's what I say to those who say, but it's only a 1.6 mortality rate. Yeah, and we couldn't handle that. So just imagine if there was no vaccine. Just imagine if we hadn't done these lockdowns. And please don't send me to other places like Sweden, who tried the herd mentality and decided it was an abject failure. And so now they issued strong lockdowns and mask requirements. Until now, they are lifting all of their requirements. Why? Because they reached that 80% vaccination threshold. It's a beautiful thing. If we could just reach that somehow together as a patriotic duty to each other, we could all get back to work and we could get over all of this madness and nonsense. All right, so that is the first story today. This one is interesting. We've not known or had an answer to the question, which builds better immunity? A vaccination or getting COVID. This headline, again, haven't read it, says CDC, vaccinations beat getting COVID-19 for building immunity. Okay, this was in the Salt Lake Tribune. Let's see, getting vaccinated offers more than 5 times the protection against COVID-19 as catching and recovering from the virus, according to a new study published by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. The study examined more than 7,000 people in 9 states who were hospitalized with COVID-like illness. and found that those who had a previous case of the coronavirus but remained unvaccinated were 5 times more likely to be reinfected as those who were vaccinated but never caught the virus. Quote, we now have additional evidence that reaffirms the importance of COVID-19 vaccines, even if you have had prior infection, end quote. That's Director Dr. Rochelle Walensky. Quote, the best way to stop COVID-19, including the emergence of variants, is with widespread COVID-19 vaccination, along with mask wearing, washing hands often, physical distancing, and staying home when sick. Let's see, the study found that unvaccinated people who had tested positive for COVID-19 in the previous 3 to 6 months were 5.49 times more likely to have confirmed cases of the coronavirus than adults who had received both doses of the Pfizer or Moderna vaccines. The CDC's announcement came on a day when the Utah Department of Health reported 18 more COVID-19 deaths in the state. 7 of the victims reported Friday were under the age of 65. So interesting study here. Just add that to the knowledge that you have. CDC now saying getting the vaccine is better than getting the virus when it comes to immunity. I'd say if you'd had the virus, get the vaccine. Why not? And, just go from there. That would be my best recommendation. But above and beyond that, because I'm not a doctor, I'm not a medical professional, please consult your doctor and do whatever your doctor instructs you to do based upon your state, your medical state, and their knowledge of that. Okay, let's see one more. This headline, we're back with the Salt Lake Tribune again. Children who get COVID-19 can suffer severe illness. Leading doctor warns. Now, this is one of those situations where I don't want you to think that all children get the virus. This is just talking about children who do get the virus and what they can prevent, what they can eventually or possibly suffer. So here we go. People who subscribe to the myth that children can't get COVID-19 should walk in our shoes every day. This is the chief infectious diseases physician at Utah's largest children's hospital said on Friday. Doctors there are treating between 8 and 12 children a day who have COVID-19. Of those child patients, 3 to 5 are typically in the ICU each day. This is Dr. Andrew Pavia, director of epidemiology at Intermountain Primary Children's Hospital. Pavia said between 5 and 8% of children who get COVID-19 still show symptoms months later, but there are many other concerns parents should have if their children contract the coronavirus. He says being infected may mean you miss many days of school. It may mean you infect family members who are more vulnerable, who may actually get very sick or die from it. Pavia on Friday urged parents to consider getting their children vaccinated once eligible. And also on Friday, the Food and Drug Administration cleared kid-sized doses. On Tuesday, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention will make more detailed recommendations on which children should get vaccinated, with a final decision from the agency's director possibly by the end of next week. So when children do get it, they do potentially face long-term consequences. And again, because COVID is still new, we don't know what exactly those long-term consequences will be. I, for one, am glad to see that the approval is moving forward for children. That means that the testing that they're doing has borne out and has proven safe and effective. So if my children were younger, then I would get them vaccinated. If they're not now, they are older. And fortunately for me, they have all chosen of their own free will and choice to get vaccinated. Okay, I have one more story and then we'll wrap this up. This is out of Tonga. Excuse me, had to sneeze there. Tonga was one of the countries that didn't have any cases of COVID until now. The island nation of Tonga on Friday reported its first ever case of COVID-19 after a traveler from New Zealand tested positive. Oh, I should probably show you the story here. Tonga is among the few remaining nations in the world that have avoided outbreaks of the virus. Like many of its neighbors, Tonga's isolation has helped keep it safe, but it faces big challenges should the virus take hold due to its under-resourced health system. This, by the way, I'm reading from ABC News. The nearby nation of Fiji avoided significant outbreaks until April, when the Delta variant ripped through the island chain, infecting more than 50,000 people and killing at least 673. Tonga's prime minister said in a radio address that the traveler was among 215 passengers who had arrived on a flight from New Zealand city of Christchurch on Wednesday and had been isolating at a quarantine hotel. That sounds luxurious. The quarantine hotel, a five-star facility. The prime minister planned on Monday to make an announcement about any future lockdowns. Christchurch had been free from the virus for months until this week, when four community cases were reported after a returning resident caught the virus while in Auckland, where an outbreak has been growing since August. New Zealand health officials said the traveler to Tonga was fully vaccinated with the Pfizer vaccine and had returned a negative test before leaving for Tonga. The officials say they would be working with their Tongan counterparts to confirm the case and provide more details in the coming days. Tongan Health Ministry Chief Executive said it was unfortunate the plane had already left Christchurch before the news came of the community cases there. He said all frontline workers, including health staff, police officers, and airport staff who were on duty when the plane arrived, had also been put into quarantine after the positive case was confirmed. He added that all those working near the flight had been vaccinated. So there you have it, Tonga now having their first case. So those, my friends, are the stories that caught my interest. I'm reading them for the first time with you here. I think that they each have a certain level of importance. I will also share them in our JMAC Live segment that you can listen to Tuesday and Thursdays at 9:30 p.m. That's where you can comment live and tell me what you think, and we can interact a little bit more. In the meantime, please comment below about these stories, and I will see those comments and respond. Please take a minute also to subscribe wherever you are watching this particular broadcast, and take a minute to support this podcast as well. Become a member for as little as $5 a month. You can do that at jmcfarland.com. Click on the Join the Club hyperlink, I guess it is, and become a member. And there are great perks to you for membership besides these broadcasts that I bring you on a regular basis. With that, thank you so much for joining me today. Again, I hope to involve you on the show prep as much as I can to get your first blush reactions and to keep everybody up to date on the stories that are of interest to me. Everybody have a wonderful day.